RNZ National, it's Friday afternoon. It's time for Critter of the Week. And I'm joined by Nicola Tookie from Forest and Bird. Hi, Nicola.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
Good. Quick plug for our Critter of the Week t-shirts, which are on sale now via the RNZ website. Also, tote bags and tea towels, Nicola.
I am glad you reminded me, because I had a few friends who immediately went out and ordered theirs on the day. I forgot. And I don't want to miss out.
So, yeah, gee, we must be coming up to it, actually. I'll check the deadline as we're chatting. But, yes, make haste and make sure that the Critter of the Week t-shirts or other merch you order get here in time for Christmas. There's a link at rnz.co.nz/Jesse. You've been busy, though. You've got something else on your mind, the Underbird campaign.
Well, yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, next year's a general election. Hey-ho. And, you know, obviously those of us in the business of trying to protect nature are thinking about how we approach that. But the most... Oh, and of course, right now, local government elections, that didn't even quite make it onto the radar, did it?
No, it's not on a lot of people's radars. It's important, but a little bit boring for most people, I think.
Yeah. So what local government should do is somehow channel Bird of the Year in terms of an election, because... I've been doing a wee look back into Bird of the Year, which has been around now since 2005. In 2005, it was a postal vote. And so for us in Bird...
Wow, what's this?
And so votes were collected both by email and through the post, and we had 900 votes. So that was nice. In 2020, we had... nearly 11,000 votes, which is quite good.
Yeah.
And last year, of course, controversially, the Pika Pika or the Long Tail Bat snuck into the Bird of the Year election process and took home the crown. The bat has stood down this year, claiming that it is both very small and has no money, so is under a lot of stress.
yeah. Also, it's not a bird, but hey, look, I was all in favour.
No, but you know, yeah. Interestingly, because manu, which we would say is the Māori word for bird, is the Māori, bats get encapsulated into manu. So the Māori phrase for Bird of the Year is te manu rongonui o te tau, and so from a te ao Māori perspective, I think it was okay.
Okay, I did not expect to spend today arguing about whether bats are birds again. We had plenty of that in 2021.
Well, and so this year, I guess just briefly, so you may recall that over the years there's been quite a lot of controversy associated with that. People go all out. Yeah. So we are still looking for campaign managers, you see. We're looking for campaign managers for our birds this year. The team have done something quite quirky. Fits beautifully with Critter of the Week's co-puppa, if you like, because this year we are focusing on underbirds.
Uh-huh.
And so these are the birds that... So, for example, kakapo being kicked out of the competition. Sick of them. Sick of the big, fluffy, bright green parrots.
Well, they're not eligible this year.
No, they're out. They are... The official line is that because they have had two successful terms as the Bird of the Year, they're taking a step back from politics to focus on family.
Okay.
So this year we have all kinds of wonderful birds, like, for example, the reef heron, the sub-Antarctic skua, the long-tailed cuckoo, the red knot, and one of my favourites, the papango or scorp, the little black... My family always called them teal, but they're a scorp, little black duck.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of things, the fern bird. Hey, Jesse, you'll recall a conversation about this some years ago, the pied shag. That's in there.
So childish.
And the team put together, I don't know if you're a fan of Succession.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Well, they put together a little Underbirds promotional video that basically...
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did.
It's good. Okay, side note. I was in New York last week and actually was staying at... I didn't ever think I'd get to bring the story up on air, but seeing you mention Succession, I was staying at one of the places where they'd filmed an episode of Succession. I don't know if you remember a scene called Boar on the Floor.
Wow.
They went to the hunting lodge and they had to get down on the floor and people threw sausages at them. Well, we went to that hunting lodge and... I snuck out during dinner and found the room they'd filmed it in, and we filmed a special Jesse doing bore on the floor.
That is amazing. See, this is what I love about Critter. You just never know where the conversation is going to go.
Much the disgust and dismay of the people working at this very posh place. anyway, yes, so it's a succession video. Maybe I could, would you like me to add that to our page so people can take a look at it?
Yes, let's do that. And look, we try really hard for people not to, you know, we like people to have fun, engaging campaigns, but people go crazy. I mean, in 2008, the successful campaign to elect Kakapo was accused by Takahi of accepting undeclared donations from wealthy migratory birds living in Monaco, and then which was then cleared by the fictional Serious Feathered Fraud Office. So there were, no doubt there'll be shenanigans. There'll be shenanigans and tricky things, but we look forward to it probably slightly more than we look forward to the local government elections, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and there's a bit of a media blackout on covering individual candidates leading up to the elections, but I see you're ignoring that because today on Critter of the Week you're talking about one of the underbirds who's up for election, the black petrel or Taiko.
The black petrel Taiko. Now, so a little bit cheating here, not the usual grotty little, you know, scungy little critter that we love to wax poetic about. But given, yeah, you're right, you're quite right. We're breaking our own electoral rules here, but that's what Bird of the Year is all about. Because it is quite a charismatic species, it's one of our amazing seabirds. And I don't know if you or the RNZ listeners are kind of aware, but New Zealand is the undisputed seabird capital of the world, and that's because we have more species of albatross, petrels, gannets, shags, terns, gulls, shearwaters, penguins, prions breeding within our waters than any other place in the world. And so we have this kind of, you know, need and responsibility, I suppose, to look after things like the taiko or the black petrel. Yeah. So the black petrel is a Procellaria form. So their scientific nomenclature is Procellaria parkinsoni. And they are, petrels are tube noses. So when you see an albatross or a petrel, you'll see there's a tube that sits along the top of their beaks.
Tube noses?
And so, I suppose more correctly, we would call them tube beaks, but they are tube noses.
Oh, interesting.
And that's so they can drink salt water, and then they excrete the salt out of the nose tubes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
Handy thing to know. Birds are important to talk about this week. I don't know if you were aware, but BirdLife International released their sort of four-yearly State of the World's Birds report this week. And 49% of all birds, bird species in the world are in decline, and 1 in 8 species are threatened with extinction. Now, that may neither be here nor there because it's just birds, perhaps, but birds are really important for telling us about the state of the planet.
Yeah.
And what they're telling us is nature's in trouble and lots of species are in decline because birds are sort of keystone species in most ecosystems. So, including, of course, the taiko. So, have you ever seen taiko?
No, first I've heard of them.
They are really cool. So, they are quite a large, big, like a really big seagull that's all black. You might like to know that I think back in maybe 2018, maybe earlier, at one point Jacinda Ardern was the campaign manager for the black petrel, and she described them as the Bogan of the seabird bird world. And so they have black legs and black feet, and they weigh about 700 grams as an adult, so, you know, it's a decent sort of a thing. I've seen them because I've been up on top of Aotea Island or Great Barrier Island, because there's a colony up there on top of Mount Hobson or Harakiamata, which has about 15,000 birds up there.
Whoa.
5,000 breeding pairs and 20,000 birds and 10,000 non-breeding birds. And they also live on possibly my favourite place for nature in New Zealand, Hauturu or Toi or Little Barrier Island. They have about 600 pairs there. So they are quite incredible in terms of the population on Great Barrier Reef, for example. You have to walk up a big boardwalk to get there. That's all I would say. If you to climb Mount Hobson, almost the entire thing is boardwalked, which is kind of an engineering feat in itself. And I do recall, as I dragged my very short legs up those very large steps, that it better be worth it. And of course, being seabirds, they, like many of our seabirds, burrow into the ground and have their wee chicks sitting in a burrow, which is pretty cool. Those burrows can be sort of anywhere between 0.5 metre to 3 metres deep, and they might be in a cave or hollow logs, or they might dig out their own burrow. And they sort of mate for life where they can. So they pair up when they're somewhere between 5 and 7 years old. They can live for more than 30 years, and then they come back to the site to breed. They might not be together out at sea as they're travelling around the world, and then they come back and meet each other again and start the process all over again. One of the coolest things that I remember about being at the top of Mount Hobson, big boardwalk, just saying, is there's a tree that they all leave from at night, and they've obviously been doing it for hundreds or maybe longer of years, and so you can see grooves in this big, it's a tree with a big thick branch that kind of launches horizontally out over the mountain, and you can see the grooves in it from hundreds of years of these birds' feet travelling up this tree, and that's their takeoff tree, which I think is pretty amazing.
Yeah, how special that you got to see it as well. Do you ever look into the future of the day when you're a grandmother and you're sitting down with the grandchildren sharing all these stories of the things that grandma got to do when she was in amongst the nature many years ago?
Yeah, I try that now, but it with my family, and of course, I'm a nana, so I have two grandchildren. Via my lovely stepdaughter and her partner, and who call me Nana Nick. They're 4 and 2, so I can tell them all kinds of stories, and they don't really understand, so they think it's interesting as long as I change my voice enough.
I said grandchildren because children, doesn't matter what you do, they're never impressed.
That's right. So true. I do. I have been very lucky, very privileged to visit these places and see these kinds of things. And I think it's important, right, because if you don't understand the story of these animals, then they're just a big black seagull that, you know, lives in holes in the ground on top of this mountain. But we're not, you know, the story isn't about that. The story is about the connection to the land, their physical connection to their takeoff tree, and also seabirds. New Zealand mainland would have been, like, throbbing with millions and millions of seabirds before people arrive, and it's the seabirds and their guano, their poos, that drives the quality of the soil that grows forests, right? So it's that whole circle of life that they provide us, and because their guano is so full of protein from the fish and the wee krill and all those things that they're eating, they're ecological engineers, if you like, because they drive the quality of an ecosystem.
Yeah, in fact, I even heard a random theory once that might have even been from you, that Cody dieback was a result of a lack of the nutrients that that came from that guano. That's probably a conversation for another time. Especially because we are actually out of time, and I haven't yet asked you to rate the attractiveness of the black petrel on a scale of 1 to 10.
I guess the last thing I would say is that this species is actually the most at-risk seabird from commercial fishing in New Zealand.
Wow.
So we think that probably between 700 and 1,500 birds might have been killed each year, for example, between 2003 and 2009. So they really, I have to give them a high score because they need a bit of TLC. But also, I live in North Canterbury and we embrace a bogan, and consequently, that means it goes higher up the score chain in my book. So I reckon it's at least a 7.2.
Well, no complaints from me. I'm from Hamilton. The black petrel can be viewed, as well as this promotional video for Bird of the Year, on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jessie. Nicola Tookie, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jessie.